Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Allahumma zidna ilman kathiran wa fiqhan fi din wa amalan mutaqabbala ya arhamar rahimin. Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barik ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi sallam. Amma ba'd, hayakum Allahu jami'an. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. I'd like to welcome all of you inshallah for tonight's class, which will be the 29th in a series of classes on the fiqh of marriage. And today we'll be beginning a new chapter. This chapter is regarding the ma'ashara azawjiya, or the relations between the husband and the wife. Inshallah, we'll have the hadith, the first hadith, bismillah.
عن أبي هريرة قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ملعون من أتى امرأة في دبرها رواه أبو داود والنسائي ولفظ له وجاله ثقات ولكن وعلة بالأرسال. Narrated Abu Huraira that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he has intercourse with a woman and her backside is cursed. Narrated by Abu Dawood and Nisa'i.
This hadith is the starting of the new chapter on the relations between husband and wife. And the ulama, they mention this hadith. He has been cursed who has intercourse with his wife in the back passage. In the back passage. Narrated by Abu Dawud and Nasa'i. Some of the ulama, they said that it would have been better to begin this chapter with a different hadith, because this is one of the forbidden things in marriage and not one of the things that are permissible. But in any case, the hadith, it says, whoever has the relations with a woman, imra'a, in the backside is cursed. Why doesn't it say whoever has relations with his wife in the backside? Rather, it says imra'a, a woman. The reason is, have an idea why? The reason is that it applies to any type of woman, whether one is married or whether it is a slave woman or any woman. This relation is forbidden in any case or any of those situations. So the Prophet ﷺ, he's mentioning that this is something that is cursed, whether it's for a Sayyid, the one who owns a slave woman, or for a man with his wife. And Ibn Umar, some people, they came to him and they wanted to ask him about this action. And they said, what is the ruling on this particular action? Ibn Umar, he was very upset. He said, are you asking about kufr? Are you asking about kufr? He considered it almost to the level of a type of kufr for that action. And then the ulama, they say that this hadith is not far from that, where the Prophet ﷺ is saying, mal'oon, la'ana. La'ana, the curse. And la'ana in Arabic, the curse is upon one who does this action. What does la'ana mean? What does it mean when somebody's cursed? Does anybody know what that means when Allah curses a person?
That he doesn't enter his rahmah.
It means that he's thrown away from Allah's rahmah. He's cut off from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's very near to a type of kufr. And the ulama, they say that this type of cursing should not be directed at any particular individual. We should not say this person and point at a person and say he's cursed. Or we should not say curses be upon any particular person. The reason for that is they might achieve hidayah. They might be a fasiq, but they might have a good ending. Allah can guide any person. So it's not permissible for us to direct curse at any individual. However, when there's an action that's being cursed, or the doer of an action, it's as if the curse is on the action itself, and not the person, the individual who does it. So this action that is being done is something that has been cursed by Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the question comes up, or the one thing we want to say is that when we study this issue, of course, is something that might be distasteful, or some people might not like the subject, so we won't expand on it too much. However, it is something the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about, and there's fiqh related to it. And it's something that is part of the Sharia, so it's important for every Muslim who to know, every Muslim man and woman to know. Some of the books, they narrate, or they say, they claim that some of the ulama had permitted this particular action, which is being forbidden in this hadith. However, when we research and we look into the books, that we find that either those attributions that say that any alim or any of the ulama allowed it, either they're plain lies, or the alim, he went back on what he said. Maybe he had an opinion. For example, Imam Shafi'i, he spent part of his life in Iraq and the later part of his life in Egypt. So a lot of the opinions that he had in Iraq, he changed when he came to Egypt, and he changed those rulings. And so Imam Shafi'i, he in the beginning he said that he was of the opinion that it was permissible, but later on he cancelled out and he changed his ruling on that. From the ulama that it was lied and said incorrectly that they permitted this action was Malik ibn Anas. But that attribution is not correct. Imam Malik did not permit this action. He did not allow this action to take place. So we have regarding what Imam Shafi said, his student Rabi'a, he said, anybody who says that Imam Shafi permitted this is lying. Because in 6 of Imam Shafi's books, he says that this action is haram, this action is forbidden. Now let's look at why is this action forbidden. We have the text and we have the logical or the aql, what they call naql and aql. From the text we have this very clear hadith. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, anybody who approaches his wife from her back passage, he is cursed. And we have from the logical point of view. And the logical point of view is when we look at what the Quran says. When Allah says regarding the woman and her menses, He says, فَاعْتَزِلُ النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ إِنَّهُ أَذَى. It is a hurt, it is a bad thing when she has the menses. So if we look at this action, what is worse than the blood of menstruation is what is in that place. So this has even more right to be forbidden. As you know, it's forbidden to have the relations during the menses for a woman. So having relations in that place is even worse, something worse than blood. So this is one of the reasons that the ulama say it is forbidden. Also, we look at one of the verses which Allah says, your women, nisa'ukum harathun lakum. Harath in Arabic, it means a tillage, or a place, a tithe where one plants the seeds, and the seeds grow, and then they take the harvest. Your women, they are a tillage for you. What does this mean? This means that what is the seed that one plants? Of course, that in the relations, he plants the seed, and the fruit of that seed is the child. So Allah says, نِسَاءُكُمْ حَرْثٌ لَكُمْ فَأْتُوا حَرْثَكُمْ أَنَّا شِئْتُمْ. Your women are a tillage for you, so go to your tillage from whichever way you wish. And so this verse, it is a response to what the Jewish people used to say. In Medina, the Jewish people, they used to claim that anybody who has relations with his woman, with his wife, from the position of from behind, but in the place of birth, in the place where she gives birth, they said the child will come out cross-eyed. This is the claim that the Jewish people used to say. Anybody who has relations with his wife in the front place, but from behind, then the wife will come out, or the child will come out with cross-eyed. This is what the Jewish people used to say. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He revealed this verse, نِسَاءُكُمْ حَرْثٌ لَكُمْ. Your women, your wives, are a tillage for you. فَأْتُوا حَرْثَكُمْ أَنَّا شِئْتُمْ. So go to your tillage from whichever way you desire, as long as it is in the place where the child is given birth. So this was a response to what the Jewish people used to say, who used to claim that the man cannot have relations with his wife in that way. They said that they could only have relations in one way, which was on the side. And the people of Medina, they used to believe that, because they trusted the Jewish people. They said they were people of the book, and they had, perhaps this was a correct ruling. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He responded to that, and He said this is incorrect, that this claim is not true. And the response is very interesting. The Allah says, فَأْتُوا حَرْثَكُمْ. Go to the place of tillage from wherever you desire. So this is it's clear that what Allah is referring to is that not that a person can have relations in either passage, but what he's saying is that go to the place of tillage, the place where the seed will grow from whichever way you desire. So the verse itself makes it clear that when a man has relations, it has to be in the place where the seed grows. And there's only one place where the seed grows, which is the normal place, the womb, for the child. So this is the only place that it's allowed for a man to have relations with his wife. Not in the other place, because the seed will not grow in that place. And so the ayah itself, it makes it clear. Go to the place of tillage, but from any way you desire, but as long as that is where the seed will grow. And it's also another interesting story about this hadith, that there was the people in Mecca, they used to have relations with the spouse from different positions or different ways. But the women in Medina, they were used to the way of the Jewish people, who said that the relations can only be done on the side. So one of the Muhajirin, he married a woman from the Ansar. And so after the wedding, he wanted to have relations with his wife the way that he had known about. She became very upset. She said, this is not allowed, this is haram, or this is forbidden, and she prevented her husband. She said that you can only have relations on the side. This is the way that the Jewish people had taught them. Any other way, the child will come out cross-eyed. So the woman, in the morning, she went to the Prophet ﷺ. She said, Ya Rasulullah, my husband, he's from Mecca. He wanted to have the spousal relations, but in a way that the Jewish people don't allow. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent down the ayah, نِسَاءُكُمْ حَرْثٌ لَكُمْ. Your wives are a tillage for you. فَأْتُوا حَرْثَكُمْ أَنَّا شِئْتُمْ. So go to that tillage from whichever way or however way that you desire. So this was a response again to the Jewish people. Now something very interesting is that when we think about the wisdom behind this prohibition, and it's a great wisdom. One, because the woman, she is the tillage. And the Arab poet, a woman, she said, we are a tillage for what is planted within us. The woman, she raises the child. And the it's a mistake. What happens is the woman, she is like a factory, or she is like a soil where the child will grow. And if somebody has valuable seed, say seed is very, very expensive, and the soil is very fertile, and he bought this expensive or valuable case of seeds. Then he takes it, instead of planting it in that fertile land, he goes and throws it away in another place, or he throws it in a swamp or some bad place. So this is a waste of what Allah has blessed a person with. He's blessed the man with a woman, a wife, who can produce a child. And this is the fruit of one's eye. This is the greatest thing that a man can and a woman can produce, is a child who will grow up from them. So the wisdom is, one of the wisdoms we see is that not wasting the valuable seed that Allah has given man, and not wasting it in the woman in a place or in a way that will not bring any fruit. Also, we see that the ulama, they say that the Prophet ﷺ, he also mentioned in another hadith, when a person asked him about this relation, he said, the woman is like a bottle that has a cover. Go to that, cover the bottle in any way you wish, as long as it's in the opening, the place where the seed is received. So this is another clear proof that this relation is forbidden. Now, anybody who tries to use this ayah and say that Allah says, go to your woman wherever way you wish, to say that they can do this action, the forbidden action, this action, that can be responded to clearly from the ayah itself. The ayah itself, فَأْتُوا حَرْثَكُمْ أَنَّا شِئْتُمْ. The ayah is saying, go to your harf, go to your tillage. So nobody can use this ayah to prove that forbidden action. That was not correct. And the four imams, we could safely say, they made the ijma'ah. They came to complete consensus or agreement that this action is forbidden. And for that reason, Ibn Abbas, Ibn Umar, he said, are you asking about kufr? Are you asking about kufr? This is such a terrible action that he considered it as high as kufr. Now we have one other related issue. And this issue is, the man, if he wants to have relations with his wife, is it allowed for him to have relations with his wife in other places other than that back place? And the ulama, they say yes. The man, he can have or enjoy his wife in other places, any part of the body other than that place and in the place of menses. If the woman is having menses, those are the two forbidden places. But other parts of the body are allowed. And in fact, the woman might be in the menses, and the man might have that desire, and so he can release his desire and have relations in a different part of the body, as long as he avoids the menses and the place of the rear. Okay, one last thing, inshallah, we don't want to dwell too much on this topic, but it's something that the sociologists and the fuqaha talk about, and it's related to this subject, which is that what happens when people get used to that type of relation with a woman, the forbidden type of relation from a woman, then they'll never be able to enjoy the normal relations with the wife. Because that part of the body, it's more constricted than the other part of the body. So then the man becomes accustomed to that, then after that he always desires that. So it ruins the natural relationship between the husband and the wife. And in fact, they say that people who, may Allah save us from this, but people who have that relationship before marriage, some people who have done the homosexuality and other things, unfortunately, when they get married, they have a hard time having the relations with their wife, because they got used to that particular way, and then it ruined their ability to have relations with the wife normally. So you see the wisdom in Islam, that the person who is cursed, he's cursed if he does this action. It also denies the wife her right in marriage, which is the pleasure in the marriage. And finally, a person who his seed is his capital. His seed is his capital. Just like a person has a factory and he has raw material, and what does he produce from his life? He produces children. So the person who has this factory, if he takes the raw material and he throws it away, he doesn't put it into the factory, which is a wife that one has given a husband, then he's ending up wasting what he can produce in his life, which is a righteous child who will make dua for him, who will pray for him. And so Allah has given a lawful way to produce relaxation and calmness and enjoyment, and so this is the way that it should be done. And in this action, by nature, we should be repulsed by it, because it is taking away, it is putting the seed in a place that is very harmful, very dirty, just like somebody throwing their seed in a swamp instead of throwing it on the fertile land that will produce fruit and produce righteous children, inshallah ta'ala. So inshallah will suffice with this particular hadith, inshallah ta'ala. And you know, if there's any questions in general, we'll be happy to answer them, inshallah ta'ala.
Do you think that was a very good translation of the word dubur, backside? Is that a very accurate translation?
Because no.
Backside can mean backside in a lawful way.
Back passage.
Yeah, but if you see the translation in English, didn't say
the best that. Translation for dubur is the back passage. That would be correct, because you're right. The relations with the wife from the back, but in the front passage is halal. This is what the Jewish people forbid. The Jewish people in Medina, they said that relation is forbidden, and the child will be cross-eyed if that produces a child from that action. So then, this is why Allah revealed the ayah to cancel out that false idea that was with the people of Medina, that was from the Jewish people. So yes, mal'unun, the curse is on the one who has a relation in the back passage.
But dubur, it means the anus, right?
Yes.
So why do they not say the anus in English? Is it for to being polite in language?
Right, yes. Yeah, probably that's the Dubur actually literally in Arabic it means the back.
Right.
You know, it doesn't, so it's more, you know, Dubur and Qubul.
No.
And the front. So I think it's more close if you say back passage, you know, actual. That's a good question. Is that cool? Okay. Any other questions? Inshallah ta'ala. Okay, inshallah. There is another hadith that also talks about, this one was with one's wife, but also that it is forbidden, of course, with what is called the action of the people of Lut. This is even more worse than that action. And when it happens with one's wife, there's no kafara. There's nothing that can be paid to expiate for it. Just the tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for the people of Lut, it's even worse. It's even worse of an action. And the next hadith is narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. لا ينظر الله إلى رجل أتى رجلا أو امرأة في دبرها. Narrated by Tirmidhi. Allah will not look at a man who came to another man or a woman in the back area. So this is the additional part that we get from this hadith, is that it's referring to a man as well. So that action, again, for between a man, is also, for the same reasons, much worse. That it's a waste, it's outside of marriage, it's a waste of the seed, and it produces harm for the society. So this is also something greatly forbidden in Islam. Inshallah. Any other questions on a different topic? You're welcome to ask. Inshallah ta'ala.
So the fact that it says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curses the ones who do that.
Yes.
With women. Does that mean that the ones who do it from the front side in fornication and zina, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't curse them?
No, they have a different curse. That's also forbidden, that's haram. That's a different sin, and the Prophet ﷺ mentioned some punishments for those people as well. That he saw people that were naked, they were being hung inside of an oven. And so he said, who are these people? He said, people who committed zina, young men and women who committed the zina. So they have a different punishment. But this is even in a lawful relationship, even in a marriage where a woman is halal for the man,
no.
Those two things are absolutely forbidden, the menses and that part of the body. Anybody who does that, they'll have the curse for the for doing that. No?
So the reason it's saying woman, is to make sure that it's for the people who are lawful and unlawful. It's putting the lawful people inside the bracket of being also cursed. That's why the choice of words.
Yes, that's a good point. Yes. Yes, any woman. No. Any woman, whether it's a slave woman. And some of the Sahaba actually, they came to ask about the slave woman. And this is when Ibn Umar, he said, are you asking about kufr? You know, considered it such a terrible action. So the slave woman or a lawful wife or outside of marriage and fornication, all of them, they have the same curse. You're right, yes.
If the woman and the man force her to do it the wrong way, so why she can break the relationship?
Yes, the wife should not allow her husband.
She can
prevent it. She can stop him forcefully from having that relation. The wife cannot be forced. She should prevent her husband from doing that. Because they say obedience is only in good things. إِنَّمْ أَطَاعَةُ فِي الْمَعْرُوفِ. The wife, she obeys the husband, and that's right. That's the haqq of the husband on the wife. He spends on her, he provides for her, he takes care of her. But if he asks her to do something haram, then she says, I'm sorry. I cannot disobey Allah in order to obey you. As they say, the obedience to Allah comes before obedience to the creation. لا طاعة للمخلوق في معصية الخالق. We cannot obey the creation in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she has a right to forbid him. Just like in Ramadan, if she's fasting in Ramadan, they're fasting, and the husband wants to have relations, she has a right to forcefully stop him from having that relation. No. Jazakallahu khair. Any last question?
Does he have a right to divorce her if she says no?
Does he have a right to divorce? The husband doesn't have a right. The husband should not divorce the wife without a good reason. So if he's trying to make her do something haram, then he shouldn't divorce her because that she refused to do that which is haram.
But not shouldn't. But does he have the right Islamically? Not shouldn't.
No. The right of divorce is in the hand of the husband.
No.
But it's a trust that he should not use in the wrong way. He should not use it. And Ibn Imam Ahmad, he said divorce can be haram for a person. Could be makruh, could be mubah, could be wajib, depending on the circumstances. But generally, the ulama considered divorce makruh.
No.
It's the last resort. Should not be resorted to, and it should not be used as a threat, but it should be used in a wise way in order to end a relationship, if that is what's needed. But it shouldn't. He should not divorce her if she's obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not. That's abusing his right.
No.
He was given the right of divorce because the man generally is less emotional and more rational. Then if he uses that haqq in a way to force his wife to do something haram, then he's certainly doing a big sin to do that.
So on the flip side of it, does she have the right to ask for a divorce?
If he forces her to do that action?
Yes.
She has the right to prevent him from doing that. And she can complain to a judge, and the judge will warn the husband. And if the husband doesn't stop, then he will separate her from the husband. So, yes, that's right. JazakAllah khair. بارك الله فيكم may Allah reward all of you إن شاء الله وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم والحمد لله رب العالمين. Oh, one last thing. The Prophet ﷺ, he sent us with the best of akhlaq. So this is, you see how Islam raises people up to the best of akhlaq, the best character. So this is part of teaching us how to be noble people, even in relations with one spouse. We have akhlaq and we have good character, mashallah. JazakAllah khairan وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم والحمد لله.